You are listening to Rift Overcast.
Hello, welcome to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me as always is Joe.
Hey.
Patch 1.9 is right around the corner, and lots of new and returning faces have been coming back to check it out. But first, the announcements. We'll hit the poll results first. We asked our listeners, which feature in Patch 1.9 are you looking forward to the most? The options were Conquest, Mentoring, Barbershop, Primeval Feast, Rank 50 and Rank 50 PvP gear, Global Chat, and new instant adventures. There were 13 votes for Primeval Feast. That is what people are looking forward to the most. 10 votes for the Barbershop. 4 for the Rank 50 and Rank 50 PvP gear. 4 for new instant adventures. 3 for mentoring. 3 for conquest. And 2 for the global chat. What are you looking forward to the most in 1.9, Joe?
Barbershop? I can't stand my dwarf's hairstyle. No shit out of me.
I haven't even seen your dwarf's hairstyle because you have your helmet on all the time. Your hood.
Yeah,
on.
I know, but just knowing it's under my hood, that dumbass mohawk.
But what do you care? You don't even see it.
I know, but it just, I'm OCD, okay? And I gotta change my face because I don't know why, but I pick like the meanest fucking face. Like, it's almost like mean and like sad. It's just terrible. I might change like his face, like his beard, like everything.
You can't even see your face. You can't see your hairstyle or your face, so
well,
what does it matter?
I at least can see my beard, which I've contemplated, or I have been contemplating, rather, I should say, that I might get rid of the beard entirely, which is like a sacrilege if you're a dwarf, but
right, seriously?
Now that I have a full face mask with the infernal dawn mask, like, and it sticks through that, it's kind of irritating. Plus, you could change it at any time. It's not like it's set in stone. So
wait, it clips through your infernal dawn mask? I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah, it does. I told you about this the other day. It looks terrible.
Really? I didn't even know that. I haven't noticed. I don't think it does. I think you're crazy. Well, I'll tell you.
It definitely does.
I'm looking forward to the rank 50 and rank 50 PvP gear the most, and even though that's more grinding for me, I have to be honest, I'm looking forward to it because I just want to play a PvP spec that uses a shield, because those shields are huge, especially compared to the dinner plates that we normally have.
Hey, there are some serving plates. You know, they're slightly bigger than dinner plates.
Have you seen the new shields, Joe? Have you seen the size of these things?
Yeah, it's impressive. I remember them actually talking about them at a decent extent in the live stream from Infernal Dawn, you know, a month or two back. It's too bad they don't, you know, like do a hotfix for all shields. I really hope that the expansion, you know, across the board, there's big shields. You don't have to, like, progress to the best gear possible in order to get a decent looking shield and size shield.
Yeah, it'd be really nice. I would hate if the expansion comes around and, you know, here you are looking amazing in your level 50 gear, finally, right? And then you ding 51 and you're like, oh, that green's better than mine. Well, I mean, I guess you can move the level 50 gear to wardrobe, but that, you know, that new piece, that new green or that new blue that you pick up is like, this is a towel and have a dinner plate and a butter knife for a sword, and there you go, tank set.
I don't know about a butter knife. Maybe like a Swiss Army knife? Because it's kind of small, to be honest, to be a butter knife.
So some bad news, kind of grim. Me and Joe's new guild, Grindcore, is no more. They've split up and moved on to greener pastures. Attendance was kind of lacking, and they just decided that I guess it wasn't really worth rebuilding from that, and so they've all moved on. Unfortunately, a lot of them moved on to guilds that are raiding on Pacific time, so Joe and I couldn't follow them. Best of luck, Grindcore, if you guys are listening. It was awesome with the short amount of time that we had with you, and maybe we'll see you around. Maybe we'll even land in a guild with you after all, or some of you.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, this was my first, like, serious raiding guild in this game, though I'm, you know, familiar with raiding other games, but I told you that I thought we really lucked out, because I was really, like, reluctant to join a guild, because, you know, both of us have been playing with the same group of people for the longest time, and WoW, and, attempted to in Star Wars, but, obviously that didn't go so well, so going into a whole new guild, a whole new people, you know, after being with the same people for so long, it was definitely like, I really thought it was going to be terrible, and they really surprised us and were really cool people. And then, of course, with our luck, they fell apart, but gotta move on. Hope to God we find another one that's pretty good as well.
Yeah, they were really good people. I'm gonna really miss the Grindcore crew. And what was nice too was, you know, we were just starting to settle into that guild too when it split up, which is really unfortunate. But a lot of the Grindcore members had been together for quite a long time, you know, prior to our joining and such. So it seemed like a really stable guild. So it's really unfortunate, and I think that's actually happening to a lot of guilds right now. I don't know. Do you think it has something to do with the expansion, or maybe it's the which we're going to get to later? Do you think maybe it's a result of the crazy shard migration that's kind of been catching up to itself lately, or what?
I think it's mostly due to the shard migration. I think a little bit has to do with the expansion. You know, we had talked off air that even WoW, with its massive population, prior to expansions, you would see a little bit of a drop-off because people would basically, like, take a break, you know, and then come back for the expansion because they kind of, like, lost interest, like, because everything becomes essentially meaningless. But I don't see that being a factor yet because we don't even have a release date. I mean, for all we know, the game might not be coming out until, like, November, which is still pretty far off. So I don't see people getting, like, deterred from playing and feeling the game's, like, meaningless until then, until we have a definitive date and we know it's really close. So,
well, I mean, there's a lot to do, I think, if you've broken into Infernal Dawn already. You know, especially if you're one of those guilds that's currently beating their heads against Lathys, then you've got some you know, good content, some good challenging content to go after. And 1.9 is around the corner, so Primeval Feast is coming up. But there are a lot of guilds that are still working on Hammernail, and I think those are the guilds that are getting hit the hardest because it's really difficult to recruit for that because you got a lot of people that probably feel like maybe Hammernail isn't worth it, or they're just already progressed past Hammernail, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we even had that in Grindcore to an extent. We thought we were going to do a little more Hammernail, but once people see Infernal Dawn, that's all they can think about because it's, like, you know, the content to do right now. But, you know, there's still, like, so many people that are doing Infernal Dawn. Like, obviously, a lot of people, or the majority of them, aren't that progressed. They're probably 1 out of 8, 2 out of 8, the majority. And I think there's some people that are still looking for guilds, so I wouldn't put, like, that much stock into it being that, but we'll talk about the shard migration later. I still think that is the main factor in all this.
Well, of course, this does also mean that the search is not over, as per our title on episode 15. The search has actually just begun.
Well, the search was over. We're
again
commencing a second search.
Yeah, new search. So Overcast will be live, by the way, on twitch.tv/riftovercast every Friday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Weekend Warfronts, PvP with myself and with Kalendros, and Joe probably pop in and out event every here and there, but he's a little Care Bear, so he's not going to PvP with us, but that is a set schedule, so Kalendros will have his stream up on twitch.tv/riftovercast every Friday night at 10 p.m., and once 1.9 and Conquest is out, then Kalendros would like to be doing probably Conquest on Friday nights or Conquest on Saturday nights, I forget. But it will be Friday and Saturday night once 1.9 is out at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll continue to stream Weekend Warfronts and Conquest PvP into the late hours of the night pretty much until we just faceplant our keyboard.
I would say something, but I'm a Care Bear, so.
Go ahead. What? I would love to hear what a Care Bear's opinion is.
I'm waiting for one to connect to the server.
What?
I'm waiting for a Care Bear to connect to the server. You know, since we're waiting for a Care Bear's opinion.
You don't PvP, Joe.
How does that make me a Care Bear?
Because all you do is PvE. That makes you a Care Bear.
No, it doesn't. I don't like instance PvP. It's terrible.
So go gank somebody. So let's go to C-Star.
Wow, that's so exhilarating. When I say world PvP, I mean, like, you know, like RVR. I don't mean, like, oh my god, there's a level 36 and I'm 50. Click. Oh, he died. God, I'm cool.
Go gank a 50. Go flag yourself on the Ember Isle and see what happens.
Yep, some guy doing his dailies and, you know, I want to flag myself. That's just such exhilarating content.
Go open a PvP rift.
That's actually not that bad. I've actually been curious how that will go. I watched videos on it, but...
So you haven't done a PvP rift yet, then?
No, I haven't.
Well, you should go do a PvP rift. I mean, you did start working on your reputation, right? Because you want the runes specifically.
Yeah, but I've been lazy the last few days. I've probably only done those dailies like 5 times maybe, so my rep isn't that great.
See, you would get that reputation a lot quicker if you went and did some PvP. But you're being Care Bear about it.
Not PvP rifts. You mean, like, normal PvP, right? When they introduce a good type of content or PvP content that's similar to RVR and do not tell me Conquest, because sorry, it's not, then I'll PvP my ass off.
Conquest is going to be awesome. You got to at least give that a shot with me, because you haven't even tried it yet, and it is a lot of fun. It definitely does an excellent job. It's not RVR, but it does do an excellent job of simulating open world PvP.
Well, I don't doubt that I'll at least try it. I just don't know how much I'm actually going to like it.
I think you'll enjoy it. But let's talk about the stream, because we're talking about Conquest, we're talking about 1.9, and Tryon has a live stream channel on twitch.tv/riftgame, and they are going to be using that quite frequently, they said, to be showing us new content. And the very last stream that they did was, everybody got really excited about it, because it was supposed to be showcasing bunch of stuff in 1.9, and was supposed to have some Storm Legion stuff. Like, the stream was actually titled Rift Live Storm Legion, or Rift Storm Legion. But then they showed us Conquest, and they showed us Instant Adventure. So, I mean, what, you think they kind of, I don't know, you think that they meant to overhype this? I mean, they're pretty new to the streaming thing. Maybe they just forgot to change the stream title, you think?
Nah, I think they wanted people to go to the stream, and Conquest isn't gonna, like, even people were asking in chat, like, are you guys going to talk about anything besides Conquest? Because, you know, they were talking to Conquest at such a to a great length that non-PvPers were, like myself, pretty bored watching the live stream. And they weren't into that because they wanted people to stick around.
I think they could have done more with it. I'm sure that future live streams are going to get much better. I'm not sure if Elrar had all of the information that he needed or not, or if they just kind of chose to limit the notes to what they, you know, what they talked about. But like, there were actually a lot of elements of Conquest that they didn't touch upon, and all, pretty much everything that ended up in this live stream and broadcast, we already pretty much knew. This is all stuff that, you know, we've been going over on the show, and you can find it all on Rift Junkies, and you can find it on Rift Nerd, and, you know, Juno's talked about it, and I think Farm Status has talked about it, and everybody's talked about this stuff already, so the information was already out there. But I still think it was good for them to go over it again, you know what I mean, for the people that haven't actually listened to these shows, or gone and read MMO Champion, or read Rift Junkies, or whatnot. But they missed completely, they didn't talk about, like, crafting at all in Conquest.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely agreeing with you that they should have went over some stuff. I just think that I expected that going into the stream, that they were going to basically, like, do a recap for anyone. They did the same thing with Storm Legion, not just Conquest. Like, they told everyone about the Colossi and whatnot. But I expected them to do that, and, like, to basically catch everyone who wasn't up to speed, or catch everyone up, rather, wasn't up to speed, and then, you know, divulge more. But they basically just stopped right there.
So when it comes to crafting, because I want to, hopefully there's enough people listening to this, that if you watch the stream, you don't know this yet, the way the crafting works in Conquest is that there are buffs, and you craft the buffs. When you finish your crafting, it gives your raid a buff, and it can be a 0.5% per stack, because they all stack. So the more you craft, the bigger these buffs get, and the better these buffs get. It can be 0.5% to 1% of increased damage, reduced damage taken, run speed, and there's a fourth one, and I actually forget what the fourth one is. And these crafting recipes require you to go out into the Conquest map and collect Source Stone. Or other people, if you don't want to do the PvP, other people could go out, collect the Source Stone, bring it back to your spawn point, to your where you originally teleported into Conquest at, and it basically just piles up into a resource queue, almost, or a resource cache, and then the crafters can pull it from the resource cache and create these buffs for you. So if you're a crafter and you don't have a lot of PvP gear, this is awesome, because you can actually sit in the spawn point where you're essentially safe, because the enemy team isn't going to be able to get in there without getting completely slammed. I don't know if they have actually put a failsafe in yet. They were talking about doing one, but the last testing for Conquest and during the live stream that they did, I didn't see any failsafes to stop enemy players from entering the spawn point. But they're going to have to deal with the respawns. I think they're going to die pretty quick. There might have been some turrets in there. I forget. But you should be pretty safe if you want to stay there and craft. And this way you can contribute to the match, and you'll still get favor, you'll still get prestige, you'll get the bonuses afterwards.
Yeah, I'll probably do this so I can catch up.
You know what's awesome that they did is once you own, one of the three factions owns a certain percentage of the map, controls a certain percentage of the map, the winning percentage, the match used to go into a lockdown mode, where during lockdown, people couldn't respawn anymore. And basically, once the land, then once the lockdown was over, the match would end, and whoever had the winning percentage would win, and it would kick everybody else out. Then they changed it to where you're not getting kicked out, but you still can't respawn. And then they changed it on the most recent build. There's no more lockdown mode at all anymore. So now, when you win, but other people can stay. And I think you still can't respawn. I'm not positive on that. But you can stay, and you can try and screw up the winning team's kills on the Colossus that spawns afterwards, because the giant boss spawns afterwards. And I think Kalendros was saying that he has like 40 million hit points.
That's kind of ridiculous.
What's awesome about it, though, is it really goes along with doing what Conquest is strong at doing, is simulating the world PvP. It gives you that feeling of the open world bosses, you know? And going and, like, ganking that guild that's trying to kill that open world boss, which I thought was really cool. Though we don't know what kind of rewards we're going to get from this yet, because currently, in the current build, this 40 million hit point Colossus doesn't have any loot on him.
You know, it almost, assuming it's executed actually really well, it could almost be like a PvPvE thing, where I remember, like, when Iron was coming out, that was actually the epitome of their PvPvE, was that there was going to be world bosses, and you were fight each other, you know, not only to kill the boss, but to stop someone else from killing it, etc. So, they never actually delivered on that. I mean, it actually occurred, but it was terrible. So, if they actually as well, it could be at least close to, you know, what we originally want from Ion, and there's nothing but good things to come from that, obviously.
I think PvPvE kind of thing, you know, the whole, you know, going after bosses, killing elites, and kind of like doing, you know, like in Ion, they had this instance called the Dredgian. That was essentially their only battleground. The Dredgian was a dungeon, just like Iron Tombs or anything else, where you had, you know, poles and bosses and objectives to go after and whatever and different things. There were some quests in there and whatnot. So you would go and you would try and do all of that, but you were in there at the same time as the opposite faction. And I would love for an instance like this, by the way, in Rift, because I thought Dredgian was a ton of fun. And the way Dredgian worked was basically there were certain rooms where once you took control of the room or you killed the general in that room, it would actually close off paths for the enemy team and force them to funnel down a different path. And you could go and head them off and try and screw them up when they're trying to kill a boss or they're trying to kill a general or complete a quest in the dungeon. You could go and you could gank them and then move on to your objectives and stuff. And there was a lot of strategy for it. I really liked the, you know, the back and forth between, you know, trying to kill a boss and not knowing when that enemy team is going to come up behind you.
Yeah, I was always a really good, really big advocate, rather, towards that type of content. Not only does it simulate worlds, you know, like open world content, but it's really cool to do, like, build simultaneously. And that was, like, you know, like I said before, that was a big, like, point to Ion. They never delivered on it, honestly. I mean, Dredgian was good, but that alone didn't. Plus, first of all, I don't think it was amazing. It had a lot of potential, but like everything else in Ion, NC Soft or NC Soon, like we always like to call it, they gave us a system that was decent, had potential, and never expanded on it, like virtually everything else in their game.
You know, it would be a really great way to get people, to get the PvPers, the fans of the smaller PvP encounters, like 5v5 kind of thing. It would be a really great way to get them involved in that and to give them that kind of content. You know, it doesn't have to be an arena, it doesn't have to be rated, but that could very easily potentially become, like, the competitive mode for people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was really thinking that while you're saying that, like, Tryon, I don't know if they're adamant against arena, but they seem very hesitant and reluctant to put it in just yet. So this could almost be like a compromise, and I don't think that people would really, like, be so mad that it wasn't arena. They would actually like this content a lot, and maybe they wouldn't even care about arena anymore once this is in.
I don't know if they wouldn't care about arena. I think they'd probably still want arena, because if Tryon did implement a Dredgian style match where it was a 5-on-5, where it's basically a PvE dungeon, but you have both factions go in, you know, at the same time and start on different ends of the dungeon and work towards killing the same boss. You know, different win. You know, you can win by accumulating the max number of points, or you can win by killing the final boss to the dungeon. I think that if Tryon did implement that sort of thing, it would probably be done in the fashion of a Warfront. I don't think it would have a rating to it. I don't think it would have any special gear attached to it. There might be drops within the dungeon, like the Dredgian did have drops that dropped only from Dredgian. A lot of those were really good. So that could be fun to do if it was just drops. But I don't think that Trion wants to do like an alternative progression for PvP, you know, such as like an arena rating in addition to prestige. And I think that's why they're kind of reluctant to do an arena. And I think that's also why a lot of players have that draw to arena, is the players, a lot of players actually do want that. But that's a very difficult thing to balance between, you know, what you get from arena gear and what you get from Warfront gear. Though I think the community would be very satisfied if they did get a 5v5 dungeon aspect, PvPvE dungeon, even if it wasn't a rated thing.
I'm pretty much reiterating what I said before. I think it's good. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. They're not going to completely forget about arena, but, you know, I basically look at it as the more PvP content they put into the game, it's basically like less legitimacy there is to the claims that, you know, Trion doesn't do anything for the PvP crowd. So if like, you know, we're sitting here 6 months from now and Conquest is a big hit and this Dredgian type thing is a big hit, I mean, I really would hope that the PvP crowd would be at least somewhat satisfied, if not like almost completely.
I hope the Conquest satisfies the PvP crowd because, well, before I get into this, real quick, the next live stream for Trion at twitch.tv/riftgame, they did promise the next live stream is all about Storm Legion. So, I mean, they've been doing about an hour-long broadcast each time they do this. So, I really don't see how they can reiterate on stuff that we already know about Storm Legion for an hour. So, we're definitely going to get something new. They haven't said when this is going to be yet, though, when they're going to broadcast it.
It's been close to the 30-minute mark, dude, to be honest. The last one was definitely about a half hour. And the one before that, the show of the Colossus, that was like exactly a half hour.
The last one was just over 45 minutes, actually. It was like 45 or 48.
Yeah. I was sleeping for most of it, so maybe that's what it is.
But patch 1.9 is coming out next week, so let's talk about, I want to talk about, you know, do you think Conquest is really, because you understand how Conquest works, right, Joe? I know you haven't actually tried it yet. I have, so I'll give you my opinion in a second, but I mean, does this sound ready? And you saw the live stream, so you got to see the state the Conquest is in. It's coming out next week. They're done testing it. So it looks like this is what we're getting.
Well, I got the general gist from between you and Colenso's talking about it and our Mythblaze, and then, you know, him reiterating basically all the points you guys are talking about. Obviously, I probably don't know like a lot of the nuances and intricacies about it, but I wouldn't say it's not ready because it doesn't work or function. I would say I don't think it's ready because I think that I wanted it to sit on the PTS for a while and basically get like a tremendous amount of feedback and like evolve over time, you know? And I thought the longer it sat in the PTS, essentially the better. And I thought the longer it sat in the PTS, it would become more and more like an RVR, to be honest. I don't think it's ever going to be a true RVR, but you could tell just by the amount of threads I've read in the forums, basically begging Trion to make it more of an RVR type setting. So, like I said, I would never anticipate them to completely revamp it and become that, but I thought the longer it sat in the PTS, the closer it would become that. Therefore, the more it would satisfy the PvP crowd, which in the end is, you know, obviously very beneficial to the game as a whole.
I definitely think, I don't think it's ready. Again, like you said, it's, I don't say it's not ready because it's not functional. I say it's not ready because it could have been so much more. I really like Conquest. Like I said, I think it does an excellent job of simulating open world PvP. But what is open world PvP to most people? It's ganking, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It's these little small group skirmishes, whether it be a one-on-one or a one-on-two. Sometimes it might be a 5v5, and every now and then you see the guilds clash. You know what I mean? If there's really active world PvP. But it's just deathmatch, you know? And Conquest, to me, while it does do a great job of giving you that feeling, because Stillmore is a fairly large map, you know, so you could be nowhere near the fight, and then randomly somebody shows up, you know what I mean? Same kind of feeling that you would get in the open world. But as far as the objectives go in Conquest, I honestly feel like it's lacking. I feel like Conquest is kind of half an idea. And, you know, I've really restrained myself from saying this on the show, because I want to do an episode where we really go over all the stuff that is great about Rift, because it definitely grossly outweighs the things that we're disappointed about. But for this episode, I'm disappointed because I feel like Trion has given us a lot of half ideas where you see this idea come out, like Conquest or even Infernal Dawn. Some of the bosses, like Maklamos, for example. Maklamos is actually a really interesting fight, but he doesn't work right now, and we haven't seen any word or heard anything from Trion about what they're going to do with Maklamos. The lasers are completely disabled, which changes the whole fight. He's basically a tank and spank. He's like free loot.
Yeah, or Dormant Core.
Yeah, and Dormant Core is another great example of a half idea of something that just could have been really, really good. Although, they're probably doing more with a Dormant Core style thing. They're talking about interiors, which I'm guessing are like open world interior dungeons, is basically what they're talking about for the expansion. So hopefully that's going to be a Dormant Core style thing.
Well, Dormant Core was also a raid. Interiors are probably going to be closer to like a five-man, though. That's the one I would say is the big, massive difference.
Well, if they do that and there's enough of them, then it'll be a lot easier for people to form groups for them and probably, you know, a lot more worthwhile to go and do.
I wonder, though, if they're doing that almost to create a dredging type thing where they expect PvP servers, there's going to be a lot of havoc in there. I saw these types of things in S3G because S3G was a sandbox game. So like every other sandbox games, there's Great Wall PvP. And there's lots of side activities. There's almost never in a sandbox type game. I mean, obviously there's exceptions. Like really straightforward, like end game in terms of raids or any type of PvE. So the only dungeons they had were essentially interiors that were in the middle of the world, random places, and there was they weren't instanced. So like you could have a full group, and then like another five people could come in there and like tag something and take the kill. I think it'd be really cool, but I wonder like how they what loot's going to drop from there. Is there really going to be like a point to going there? And if really great loot does come there, then you're going to have so many people fighting over kills. So I really hope that there's some sort of like fail safe in place that doesn't become, like people camping a guy and like, oh, I tagged him, okay. or something like that, because that'd be really retarded.
You think maybe the interior will like reset? Like maybe it'll be kind of like a, it's, still open world, but maybe you zone in or, well, you don't like load into it, you know what I mean? But you enter the interior area, and then when the interior is clear or the final boss dies, maybe it'll kick everybody out.
I sure hope so. I mean, people have been talking about they expect a lot of mobs. So they think even if you wanted camp it, like unless you have a full group who's just standing there, it's going to be pretty hard to camp it. Like you're not going to have one guy who's going to tag it. Like he's going to die. So that could be one failsafe. But, you could run, I could definitely see five people standing there for hours because some people are that committed. Let's be honest.
Well, what you said is true. The respawns are probably going to be fast enough that it's going to be one of those things where once you enter it, hopefully it's like this, you have to basically just keep moving. I expect that these are probably going to be like, pure elite areas, where you just, once you start to clear into it, they start respawning behind you and you basically end up trapped and the next guy that comes in has to clear through. But yeah, I mean, it is a worry. We do have the public grouping system, which is good. I think that they should increase this, by the way. We haven't talked about this on the show yet, actually. We can get to this in a second, but I think that they should increase the public grouping limit to 40, or maybe even higher. Maybe allow you to have multiple, 60 people, all together in one raid, so that way everybody can just kind of go in and everybody can get credit. I don't know. There's some ups and downs for that. We're getting a little off track, though. I was talking about half ideas, and the interiors came up because Dormant Core was kind of a half idea. Conquest, I feel like, is a half idea. I like what it's doing for what it is. I'm definitely going to enjoy it. I'm going to play it, but I feel like it definitely could have been a lot more. Planar Tumen is another good example of a half idea. Maklamos and a lot of Infernal Dawn feels like a half idea to me, aside from Lathys. Lathys is amazing. And I want Tryon to slow down, Stop throwing all these new ideas out. Chill out for a second. It's like, we know you guys can pump this stuff out. We love your ideas. We really do. I think everybody loves these ideas. But then when it doesn't work out, they just kind of leave it be and move on to a new one. And I want them to just kind of stop and focus on one idea and finish it and just see it through to completion before they decide that it's not going to work.
Well, yeah, and like Dormant Core is like, we keep mentioning that because not only was it a half idea, but like no one even knew about it. At least Conquest is getting a lot of hype and there's a lot of things surrounding it, so people obviously know about it. You have to have lived under a rock to not know about it, quite frankly. And it's not even so much I want them to slow down. I want them to like be more focused. I feel like they're so over the place because they want to continue to appease so many different crowds that they're almost like, they're like too all over the place. I feel like they need to focus on like one type of thing, do that, move on to the next, rather than like multitasking five things simultaneously and giving us five half-assed things. Give us like one solidified, piece of content, move on to the next, etc.
Yeah, and I think that they can slow down, really. I mean, there's a lot of returning players, and if these players come back, and they see all these half ideas, and like, this is really cool. Wait a minute, that doesn't work like I thought it did. Or, hey, anybody want to do Dormancore? You know, somebody that just came back, say, yesterday, right? And they're on their 50, and they're working on gear, and if they discover this Dormancore thing, they're not going to be able to find the group for it. They can't experience it because nobody wants to do it. And they're going to be like, well, why don't you want to do it? And they're like, well, it's not worth doing. And they're like, well, so what are they left with? They're left with, you know, the new dungeons, which is good, but they're left with pretty much everything that they were used to seeing before, you know what I mean? Dungeons, raids, and warfronts kind of thing, you know?
I think if someone were to come back to this game, they're going to be, like, amazed, like, especially if they look at, like, the patch notes and they see all the content coming out. But I couldn't agree more. Like, if they see all these patch notes and all these patches, but in the end, it comes out to be, like, two new things because the other, I don't know, four or five are either no longer worthwhile or they never panned out to begin with, they're going to be kind of, you know, let down. Because they're going to be like, wow, I read all this stuff, but, you know, half of it is useless or, you know, not worthwhile to do. I think that they release, I mean, when the game first came out, it seemed like every 2 months. I think now you're going to see content come out approximately every 3 to 4 months, probably closer to three. And that's fine. I mean, most games do it every, like, 6 months, let's be honest. So that's probably fine, especially with raids and whatnot. I just wish that, like I said, they, you know, if they wanted to appease the PvP crowd, it's like, okay, these 3 months you spent on Conquest, then we switch. And unless you're one of those people that does, like, everything imaginable, you know, you PvP, you do Conquest, you raid, whatever, at least you know what's on the horizon. It's coming, you know? And I think there's so many things to do currently, and you have to realize, like, the game's only been out a year. People have such high expectations because people expect, like, a new game to come out and for it to have everything that a game that was out for years already has, which, you know, to an extent should be like that. There should be a lot of conveniences and small little, you know, intricacies and nuances to the game, but in basically like a quality of life, I should say.
Well, it should be like that. I think Trion's done a really good job of taking everything that has evolved in the genre and making sure that it gets implemented. You know, we got the LFG queues and we've got quality raids and we've got five mans and, you know, regulars, experts, and master mode tiers to the five mans. We've got Chronicles. We've got open world stuff. You know, we may not be 100% satisfied with every single element of it, but they've really done a great job. And we're getting Barbershop in 1.9. They've done a really good job of taking all of these things, no matter how big or small they are, making sure that they do get into the game. What I'm really getting at is that I think that they're going to grasp new and returning players a lot better and a lot easier with one really great, complete, flushed-out idea versus having five half ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. And like, but all I was trying to basically get across was that I hope that they obviously go on that path and they get one idea out. But I think people are a little too harsh with the fact that, you know, the game's only been out a little over a year. And people, especially how people act on the forums, like, the game doesn't have this, game doesn't have that, blah, blah. It's like, I feel like I'm playing WoW and the game's been out for, you know, nearly 8 years. And they expect, and, you know, because that's how they talk. They talk as if, like, wow, the game's been out this long and they still don't have this. It's like, this long? It's been out, it's June now, so you're talking, you know, like 15 months. Wow, that's a...
No, not WoW.
Good one there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely hope, and I think they've learned that they have to do, or at least they should learn after Conquest. Because I think Conquest is going to have hype, and it's going to have definitely positive feedback. But I almost feel like Trion is banking so much on it that unless they get absolutely flawless reviews, it's really not going to live up to what they think it's going to do, or be, rather.
Well, if you've been keeping up with the forums, and you've been keeping up with Overcast, then you know that it's come up a lot. You know that the PvP community is very vocal. I mean, they've always been vocal. In every game, PvP community, I think, is always the most vocal. They're always the loudest community about what they want to see. And I wonder if Trion saw that, and they had Conquest planned for the expansion, but they pushed it out way ahead of schedule because everybody wanted something new for PvP so bad.
I think it was that couple with Guild Wars, quite frankly. Especially with like all these beta tests coming out with Guild Wars and people like, all I ever read, I check the Guild Wars 2 on the Champion Forums, I check, like, Guild Wars Reddit. All you ever see is, like, you know, as much as people might dislike the PvE, and there are a big majority that like the PvE, you're going to get a huge bulk of players are going to straight up play that game because of the RVR, the world versus world feature. They're not even going to care about the other half of that game. They're literally going to sign in and play that for hours on end. And I think that Trion was smart to say, hey, we have to get something like this out. And obviously they had this in development way before probably Guild Wars even announced World vs. World. But they probably wanted it to be, you know, what I was just saying, they probably wanted it to be closer to an RVR setting, but time limitations, so they kind of converted it into more of like a Winter Grasp-esque, if you ever played WoW, or I forgot what it's called in Cataclysm, sorry, I can't remember the name. Tol'Bron, that was what it was called. And that made them essentially be able to get it out faster. I don't think that was a smart idea, if that actually is indeed the case. I think they should have said it's on the horizon, you know, even if it was 2 months out. But they said straight up it's RVR, I think it would have been a better decision.
Exactly. I think that the quality of the idea is going to be much more important than when it comes out. And if we know it's coming and we know what it's going to be, then that's all we really needed to know. I think PvPers just kind of wanted Tryon to come out and tell us what was coming, what was going to be on the horizon. I don't think they necessarily needed to see something right this second.
Yeah, I definitely do not think that they needed anything for a while. I mean, if they knew it was coming and they knew it was going to be RVR, as long as they got, like, you know, general overviews, like, here's the map, basically, you know, how big is it, how many players, simple stuff, like, simple things that PvP players want to know, why would they care if it came out now? Like, if anything, I'd be happy they took longer. Oh, make it better, I don't care, take an extra month, whatever.
So we're getting Barbershop also in 1.9. And, Joe, you found the post. Somebody said they changed, what, their face and their hair, I think? And it was, like, 45 platinum? It sounds kind of high to me.
It wasn't a post. It was in the chat in the live stream. Someone was talking about it. And I'm pretty sure they said something to the extent that they changed their face, their hair color, and maybe they tweaked their height. And he said that was the most expensive he spent. He spent was 45 plat. Well, he prefaced it by saying the most. Someone asked how expensive it was. He said the most I spent was 45 plat. And then someone asked what he had done during that creation. And I believe that's all he might, maybe he changed a couple other small things, but that's all he mentioned. And if it doesn't go beyond four, well, I sure hope it doesn't go beyond 45 plat, let me just say that. But I almost feel like the minimum should be way lower, you know? Like 45 plat is for doing something that simple, but then continuing, you know, to do all these other small things doesn't really make it go up really at all. Then they should almost lower the minimum price for it.
Yeah, it sounds to me, I wish I actually went on the PTS and had an opportunity to check this out before the show, but if you go and change, you know, everything about your character that you could possibly change in Barbershop, it's going to be like 150 platinum? Because, I mean, I think your average player probably carries around maybe 200 or 300 platinum on them at a time from doing, you know, dungeons, just passive platinum that you get from doing dungeons, doing PvP, doing raids, and maybe doing rifts and stuff, and selling vendoring greens or whatever. You know, I don't think a lot of people really play the auction house or have been banking money for a long time. And also, a new player coming back that's got, like, a really small wallet, they might have maybe 50 platinum or 30 platinum left over from when they left. Barbershop is supposed to be something that's just kind of fun, where you just kind of, you know, oh, I feel like changing my character today. I feel like having pink hair today, just for fun. Just for a day, I'm going to look retarded. You know what I mean? And you just go and drop maybe one platinum on it. Like, I think it should be something like that. It shouldn't be a money sink.
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean, even if that guy was completely off base and it's something like 20 plat, I still think that's kind of ridiculous because, like you said, like, I'm going to want to go to this thing pretty often. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go every day, but maybe once every couple weeks I want to tweak my hairstyle or something. I really shouldn't, like, by changing one hairstyle, have to pay, like, 10 plat. Like, I think that's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, because you eventually get tired of looking at your character. Like, you might love how your character looks, but then eventually you're just like, well, you know, as awesome as my character looks right now, I just want something new. I think that's a big reason why you see a lot of the top raiders and stuff, and the people that are doing that are finished Hammernail and are doing Infernal Dawn are running around with full ID sets or full Hammernail sets. And if you inspect these guys, like we do all the time, Joe, you inspect these guys and you're like, this guy looks amazing. I love that set. That looks great. But then they're wearing like a towel around their chest and like a skirt and some kind of weird feather headdress. And it's just because they get tired of looking at the tier that everybody else is wearing. It's like I've had that tier for, you know, they probably had that tier for months. And they just get tired of it and they just want to change. And I think that's what Barbershop is meant for. I think that's what it's good for, is when you just want a change. And you shouldn't have to pay through the nose for that. But you know, I wonder if they set the Barbershop costs to what they did because they're trying to prevent people from hoarding platinum for the expansion.
I think they're just probably wrong on the PTS. For sure, I sure hope so. I hope like the PTS was just insanely bloated and then they come here and it's like way lower.
I mean, well, that would be nice, but I mean, you do have to control the bloating of platinum, right? I mean, everybody knows, like, here's a great example for you, okay? I've got 350 Eternal Planar Dust in my bank on my mage, and before the expansion comes out, I'm going to be selling every last one of those because those are 3 platinum each. So you're talking about me banking like 1,200 platinum if I sell every single one for 3 plat. And I mean, what do I need them for, right? The expansion's going to be out in 3 or 4 months. Why bother holding on to that many Eternal Dust? I don't need them for crafting. I don't need them for anything else. Other people might. I can make a killing, and then I'll just sit on my platinum. But then they come out with Barbershop, and if every time I go to the Barbershop, it costs me 20, 40, 60, 100 platinum to change my look, well, I'm probably going to end up dumping a decent amount of money on that. I think it would probably be pretty good to control the saving of platinum.
I think that if you're going to put a money sink in an MMO, you got to put something on something that's a necessity, like mount costs or training costs. If you put it on something that's like a secondary thing, you know, it's all for aesthetics, people will do it once and they won't go back because it's too expensive.
So we talked a bit about new players coming back because there are a lot of new players, there are a lot of returning players. It's honestly a great time to get back into Rift. It really is. It's good timing. 1.9 is coming out next week, next Wednesday. Lots of great quality of life changes. I have my qualms about Conquest, but it is a great new mode. It's a lot of fun. It's probably going to be a lot more fun on live than it was on the PTS because there's going to be that many more people participating. Which, by the way, I'm not sure if they mentioned this on the live stream, but real quick, there can only ever be one instance of Conquest going per war group at a time, which means that everybody from the war group is going to be in the same instance. There's not going to be multiple ones going, which is excellent. So it's a great time to come back. There is one concern that I have for new players coming back, though, and that's the impression that they get from the shards, because you have free shard transfers, which is awesome. Everybody loved when Trion came out with the free server transfers. You know, it's so easy to do. You just click the transfer button at the character select screen, pick your server, and boom, you're done. It's in an instant, and it doesn't cost $25 like some other games.
Well,
but it's been out for so long that I think just over time, the free server transfer has caught up to itself because people seem to have, there's still quite a lot of players. Rift is very healthy, but the population has all migrated to, on the US servers, all migrated to like 4 servers. It's Deepwood, Greybriar, Fablight, and Wolfsbane have like the majority of the population right now. And it really kind of leaves the other servers feeling kind of dead. And then people might get the wrong impression. If you go to, like, Silkweb, you know, as a returning player, and you log in and you don't think, well, maybe I should transfer to Deepwood, you know what I mean? You look around Silkweb and you don't see anybody, and you get the wrong impression about the game. So should they merge servers, you think? Should they shut down more servers before the expansion?
I've been saying for a while, I think they should close about 4 servers. I think at most they could close like 6, 7. There's 16 servers right now. I think they, if they get one down to like 8, 10 at most, well, not most, but maybe 12 at most, you would have a lot more packed servers. I mean, that's what you want. Especially when, like, other games are less dependent on population, simply because games like World of Warcraft, Star Wars, The Republic, they're not so dependent on open world things like zone events, like, and rifts. These things are completely dictated by participation and population. Lack of population, as me and Matt have both seen on Gnarlwood, which, as sad as Gnarlwood is still a little bit below, like, it's like the low end of medium, which is kind of pathetic, to be honest. It really should be Gnarlwood should be one of the worst servers, but because of how bad other servers are, you know, it's not that awful off. Zone events on Gnarlwood not only progress slowly, but because of that, they start, there's like literally like 4 events a day. It's pathetic. We came from Deepwood where it was like a rampage. Here's an Umbral event, 10 minutes later, it's done. Another one up in 5 minutes. Gnarl was like, here's an Umbral event, spend 2 hours on it, then wait an hour for another one to spawn. It's horrendous.
Yeah, I remember one of the zone events that I did on the Ember Isle on Gnarlwood. I had started it and I had killed like 3 footholds or something during one of the phases, one of the first phases or whatever, or closed a couple of rifts, whatever. And I realized I did a slash who Ember Isle and like 8 people came up. And I was like, 8? There's 8 people here? It's like, well, this isn't happening, obviously. You know, I wasn't going to be able to solo the event or anything. And I couldn't find any of those 7 other people either to group up with and try and go through this stuff. So I just left. And I went and I did 2 master modes. And by the time I finished the second one, or was almost finished the second master mode, I got to Inscribed Source Stone. for that phase being completed. That phase, not the event. And I was like, seriously? And then I got out of my second master mode and I went back to the Ember Isle to finish. Which is just that's insane, you know? And some people argue that, oh, well, they get their stuff done plenty, you know, plenty quick. They get their weeklies done. They get their dailies done. But when you're on one of these lower population servers, if you don't already have all your sigils made and you still need Inscribed Source Stone, it is insanely difficult to farm stuff, and the Inscribed Source Stone grind, which really isn't a grind, it really shouldn't be, ends up being exactly that. It ends up being a grind to get your sigil filled. It's really detrimental for new players, and I think that there are definitely bonuses for them shutting servers down. The real trick is once you say servers are merging, that's like the worst thing that you can say in the MMO community. That's when everybody starts crying dead game. So to do that, when you have patch 1.9 right around the corner and you have an expansion coming, could be just as detrimental to leaving the servers the way they are.
I think that Rift had so much hype surrounding it when it was coming out because, you know, like the other like 10 games that came out in the past like 3-4 years, they deemed it a WoW killer. And like every other one, we realized the same thing. WoW is dying on its own. You don't need anything to come in and just swoop the subs away. And I think that over time, the press has slowly died on it. It still gets, you know, a decent amount of press for all the big events, like a Storm Legion announcement, maybe Conquest does, but you're not going to get the same press you did a year ago if you merge servers. Let's put it this way. I think in 6 months, Star Wars isn't even going to get, like, you're not even going to have an announcement anymore when stuff happens. Because the same thing. It's hovering around 1 million subscribers now, which is decent. It's pretty good. I actually wish Rift had that many people, quite frankly. But it, again, was branded a WoW killer. It's nowhere near that. And eventually, the price just isn't going to care. And it's not like we're going from, like, 100 servers to 4. We're going from 16, which is a moderate amount. It's not a lot, to, like, 12. And if it's overall healthy to the game, it's great. And Rift, or Trine, I say, already has those previous shutdown servers now as trial shards. So they can simply say, we are basically wanting the servers to be more flooded, more active. And if the time comes when the expansion comes out, or whatever the case may be, and we need more servers, click, they're on. Done. Why is that a bad thing?
It's, I don't know. I think that there's so much press surrounding Storm Legion that right before an expansion, it's like I said, it can send a lot of mixed signals that they're, you know, oh, we're shutting down servers right before our expansion comes out, and it could really hinder expansion sales because, you know, they're not shutting down servers because Rift doesn't have the population. They would be shutting down servers because all of their population exists on 4 of the servers, you know what I mean? If you took Rift's population and you spread it evenly amongst all the servers, I can confidently say that at least 12 of those servers would be sitting at a constant medium to high.
I don't even know if it would be that high.
Well, honestly. Medium.
Yeah, it would be. I think that if you had 10 servers, you'd have high end of medium consistently in all of them. 12, maybe a couple, like ones like Gnarlwood, basically. You know, they're a little, like Gnarlwood would be like your low server. And it's not like, I just feel like there's too many servers for the population. Tor just went down to 12, and they have, or at least right now, they're hovering around 1 million mark. So if they have 12 and they have 1 million, and all the estimates are pointing towards 250,000 approximately for Rift population, and you have more than Star Wars, that's a problem.
Yeah, and you know, actually, it's a good example what Star Wars just did, actually, because they went from, what was it, like, didn't they have like over 100 servers?
They had 123, I believe, because I believe at like the first day of early access, they had 80 or so. And then as the more and more population came out, they kept opening more and more and more. And then like on actual launch day, they launched another like 10 to 15. So yeah, they went from like 80 to 123. It was insane.
And then they just went from 123 down to 12, which yeah. The press got wind of that. And this is a great example of what could happen to try on, though, is the press got wind of that. And everybody's talking about Star Wars The Old Republic going free-to-play now and adopting free-to-play models. And like one of the headlines that I saw out on the press sites was Star Wars now with less servers than Rift. You know, I mean, what kind of press do you think that would give Rift? If Rift, you know, dropped down to less servers than Star Wars, especially after they just got a headline like that.
Well, two things. Tor's not going free-to-play. That was just, like, some idiot who slipped out the words that they're considering it because it might generate more money, which I could see happening a year from now if subs continue to bleed at an insane rate. But if they hold steady at 500,000 or higher, they're not going free-to-play. And the only reason they would do that is because EA, I'm sorry, offense to EA, like Activision, is money hungry, and somehow free to play for some reason generates a lot of money. An example, Lotro was like bottom of the barrel, almost bankrupt. They went free to play and they generated more money in 2 months than their subscription model did in a year. I think that their presence, because Tor is still very recent, it just came out in December, and like I said, it was deemed a WoW killer. It didn't live up to that. It had a tremendous bloat of players that left in the first couple of months, and it's been slowly bleeding ever since. And not only that, but they went from an absolute gargantuan amount of servers, which they never should have had in the first place. And any game, just like Rift did, they open initial servers and they close them. But toward what was such a drastic drop that you're not going to have that with Rift, because now, one, I don't think it's in the press nearly as much as Tor is anymore. And number two, we're not going 123 to 12. We're going 16 to 12. It's not really that big of a drop off.
Which is also true. And there is another side to this, too. There is another way to look at it in terms of looking at SWTOR as an example of what happens with the server merge right now, with the way that the genre is and the way the market is right now, is you read the Reddits all the time, right, Joe? You read all the different Reddits for all the different games, right? You keep up with the Diablo one, the Star Wars one, you read the Rift one, you read all of those, right?
Yep.
And didn't you find something on Reddit that somebody was saying that they saw like 12 people online in the main social hub on Star Wars, like the main city on Star Wars, and then after the mergers, there was like 800?
Yeah, the fleets, or the Imperial Republic fleet, which is basically like a Sanctum equivalent, or Meridian, for Star Wars, will list how many people are on. And he said during a peak time, like around Sunday at 8, which everyone knows like Sunday nights are like peak time for any MMO, because people who are working or younger and don't work are all on at this point, there was literally 10 people on, or maybe it was 12. And after the merger, it went up to like 840, because that's what happens when you go from 123 to 12. See, I think there's a difference too. Like Star Wars was so barren because there's so many servers. You know, it wasn't like there was two or three really populated and there was, you know, like how Rift is. Rift, the server imbalance is so ridiculous that you don't have to close such a ridiculous amount of servers. You have to close like three or four, because I think even if you distributed the population of Deepwood, Wolfsbane, and Fablet, I'm not even going to mention Greybar, because Greybar Defiant is pretty popular, but Greybar Guardian is middle of the road, and the server as a whole is probably a little bit above medium. It's not like ridiculous. Wolfsbane, Deepwood, and Fablet's population, I mean, you might get a queue on Sunday night at any one of these servers, quite frankly, because they're that popular. So even if you distributed them like across the board even, you're still going to have like three, four servers that are dead. Star Wars, of 123 servers, I think 123 were dead. So, you know, because not only is that a ridiculous amount of servers.
Well, I brought it up because I was saying, you know, there's another way to look at this, too, is do you think that maybe perhaps closing down servers for Rift right now, it might initially be like, whoa, Rift's shutting down servers right before an expansion? What the hell's going on? They got an expansion coming. Why are they closing stuff down? But then all of a sudden, everybody starts going nuts because, like, this was, like, the best thing to ever happen to us pre-expansion, because you go from, you know, 12 people showing up to a zone event to 40 people showing up to a zone event. The same kind of, like, increase that you saw on the fleets in Star Wars, you know? And you think that would outweigh the publicity or the bad publicity of shutting down servers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like I said, you have to have some sort of subtext to it. You basically say these will be reactivated the instant they are needed. And that exactly what we're saying. The server imbalance is ridiculous, and this is only going to be positive and beneficial to the players. I mean, what detriment is this to the player? Sure, you might be attached to some people on your server, but if you're on a dead server like Greenscale, who are you attached to? One, because you and that other person are probably the only people on the server anymore, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think that the benefit for the player is very obvious. I don't think that there's any way to argue that point at all. You know, it's very obvious. Shutting down shards will benefit the players right now. But fact is this is still a business for Tryon. So they do have to think about what could possibly impact expansion sales. You know what I mean? And I think that maybe that's got to be rolling around in the back of their head somewhere. They've got to be looking at the shards and thinking about, you know, what they can do. But I think that maybe they're just kind of sitting there with their fingers crossed, like, you know, when this expansion comes out, these are going to fill up. And you know what? they are going to fill up. I really think that they are going to fill up. But I have to say that I think shutting down Shards right now, we're far enough away from the expansion that even if we did get some bad publicity from it, it would be lost by the time the expansion came up, because then everybody would be talking about the expansion. I don't think that the press is that critical. I think a lot of that the gaming press out there right now is more about delivering you the news rather than, you know, commenting a lot on it and stuff like we do. Gatebreaker does a lot of that stuff too. But they're not out to get these companies, you know what I mean? Like, the press isn't really the bad guys. It's not like we're covering celebrities.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's so much trying crossing their fingers that the servers are filled up. I think they know the servers are going to fill up. I think they're crossing their fingers that the current population, at the very least, holds steady. And then the surge comes, you know? Like, they're basically, like, counting down.
Which I definitely see that. I definitely see that happening. But what I was going to say, too, is if you shut down all of the servers, if you shut down some of the servers, like 4 or 5 or whatever, or 3 or 4 of the servers, and then 4 months down the road, there's an influx of players with the expansion, like when we saw when Rift first came out, and then all of a sudden you open 8 servers, like you shut down 4 months ago, and then the expansion comes out 4 months later, and you open 8, or you open 10 to accommodate people, and everything is medium to high or better, that nobody's going to care about what happened 4 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I don't think it's going to be that big of a story in the press anyway. You're going to see, like, one article. And I think that people might be, especially players, they're going to be skeptical at first, but then they're going to log into a server and be like, forget it, I love it. 4 months later, expansion comes out, they launch new servers, ta-da, over. Like, I understand, like, from a business standpoint, like, why they might be hesitant and reluctant. I honestly, as much as I want them to do this, I don't think they're going to close down the Shards, but I think that they will lose some people to the fact. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a substantial amount of people, but they are going to lose some to the service state is, and they don't want to transfer to Deepwood because that's just another, you know, more imbalance. They want to stay where they are, and I think if they all they would have to close down is the absolute bottom of the barrel. I mean, you got Greenscale, you got
we've kind of beaten this into Springs. You know, the ground at this point, but I think that the overlying issue really is the free server transfers, which is an amazing feature. It's really nice to have that, but the best thing about an expansion is that it resets everything back to day one. Basically, everybody's starting from the same point, and if all the shards fill up, then the question really becomes, what do they do with the free server transfers? Because if they leave it the way it is, then we're going to run into the same issue further down the road where everybody's going to migrate to the most populated shards, and shards are just going to start filling up, and then others are going to start dying off, you know? I mean, I think it's inevitable with this, and I think that they honestly need to take it out. They need to get rid of it, and for the really populated shards, leave those shards open to transfer off to specific shards. I know that other games like World of Warcraft have done things like that, where they do open up free transfers, but only to specific shards, and people are kind of like, well, I don't really want to go to that shard, you know what I mean? So they kind of stay where they are. But I think enough people do decide to move off the shard to something else. And with shards like Deepwood and Wolfsbane, as popular, and Fablite, as populated as they are right now, if they even increased by 30% population when the expansion comes out, every single one of those shards is going to have a queue time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So people are going to want to get off the shards, and I think that they should direct people to specific shards. And once the shards balance out, seriously, shut it down. Just shut it down. And if you really want to keep with the free transfers to any shard that you want to go to, do it like once a month or something. Like once a month, it opens
that's
up. Don't let people move whenever they want.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know about necessarily getting rid of them, though. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just think they just need to drastically increase the cooldown. 7 days is ridiculous. I mean, we've transferred shards so often because of that luxury, but, you know, it was a luxury at first. It's a detriment to the game now.
Yeah, at least increase the cooldown, but I'm thinking more like set like a designated time, you know, like when dungeons reset and stuff. Like the first of every month, the shards open up, and for 1 week, you can transfer to any shard you want, and then it closes down.
Yeah, that would work too.
But they definitely need to get the free transfers in check. Again, it's a great idea. It's an awesome luxury to have. I think it was a big attraction for a lot of people, but over time, it's caught up to itself, and it's sent the shard imbalances spinning out of control at this point. If you are a new player returning to Rift, again, the game is honestly very healthy, but you probably right now at this point want to be looking at Deepwood, Greybriar, Wolfsbane, Fablite, probably one of those 4.
Play system.
Yep, Seastone's pretty decent. You can check.
Not that bad.
What were the sites that we looked at? Like Rift, this Rift Strats? No. Rift Stats.
Yeah, riftstats.net and riftideas.com/ Shardwatch. Shardwatch is one word. That one is, I think, my most dependable one. It shows current, like, server traffic over the past week or so. And it's basically like a graph so you can see how. And obviously, if a server hasn't had traffic for the past week, unless it's like, you know, Christmas week or, you know, some ridiculous holiday, that's a really good inclination of how the server is overall.
Do you think Tryon needs to come out and say something about this? I mean, we're sitting, you know, we've beaten this and beaten this and beaten this. It's been on the forums forever. You know, people have been looking for this for a long time, for them to kind of do something to help either even out the shard population or just, you know, shut down the ones that just don't have any. I think we deserve at least a comment from Tryon on it. I think they should at least come out and say maybe, I don't know, what their plan is. I mean, obviously they have to be careful because I think that they are concerned about publicity. They are concerned about impacting expansion sales. But I think they have an obligation to respond.
Oh, I think the same thing. It's funny, we're talking about the North American shards, but the European shards are even worse off. They have the same amount of servers we do, and they have probably like half the population North America does. And I think that if Tryon will at least come out and say something to the effect that, like, we're waiting for the expansion, seeing what happens, and then we'll respond accordingly, I wouldn't be that. That would be okay. Because then, you know, if let's say the expansion comes out and, balloons us up to, like, 700K. And then, you know, let's be honest, any game, any expansion always has a drop-off. It's inevitable after the first month. Let's say then it drops down to 450K. They'd probably still have to close, well, assuming they opened up servers, you know, for the expansion in the first place, they'd have to close servers. So if they responded accordingly to something like that, and they basically said that's what they were going to do, okay, do that. At least say something. Like, just ignoring it and just, like, not saying a word when thread after thread after thread is created for not only the European and the North American shards. It's kind of ridiculous at this point, honestly.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we saw with PvP. Is, you know, the PvP community just wanted to see a response. We just want to know what your plan is, Tryon. That's all we want. We just want a little update. Give us a snippet. Give us an acknowledgement of an issue, anything. Just give us something, you know? I think Conquest is too early just because I think it could have been more. And I think that we need to, you know, hear about something that about the shards before they act on it, unlike what they did with Conquest, because I think that they did push Conquest out early because of the kind of response that they got on the forums. And I would hate to see them make a hasty decision like that for the shards, which is obviously going to be much more critical of a decision.
Yep, I believe that too.
But definitely check out Conquest. Patch 1.9 is next week again, Wednesday. Keep your eye on twitch.tv/riftovercast and twitch.tv/riftgame, which is Tryon's official stream, because the next stream will be all about Storm Legion. If you're PvPing or you're just now getting into PvP, then I'll leave you with this before we go, because I think we pretty much covered everything we wanted to cover this episode. Don't buy anything. If you listen to this now, stop buying gear. Cut it out. Because the current bottom tier of PvP gear that's available on the live servers right now is being deleted. It's being removed. If you already have some gear, you're not going to lose it, but it's not going to be on the vendors anymore, and that also means that it's not going to be required to get the next tier of gear. So if you're buying that first tier of gear, then you're basically buying a tier that you can't use towards the new bottom tier. There's three tiers of gear. There's the bottom tier, the mid tier, and the top tier. And each tier is being moved down one. So bottom tier is getting phased out. Mid will become the bottom tier, and the top will become the mid tier. And the new tier, the rank 50 stuff, will be the new top tier, which also means that all of the current top tier stuff and the medium top tier stuff is going to come down in price because it's being moved down a tier for us. So don't buy anything. Wait until 1.9 comes out next week and then buy up your stuff for like 30-40% reduced cost. And that's all we got. We got everything, Joe?
Yeah.
Don't forget, keep your eye on twitch.tv/riftgame for Tryon's next broadcast that will cover Storm Legion. We're always looking for new guests to come on the show and be part of Community Voice. So if there's any area of the game that you have extensive experience in or are especially passionate about, be sure to contact us with your desired topics and a little bit about yourself. You can find Overcast on iTunes via the iTunes Store or simply click the link at our website, riftovercast.blogspot.com. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio at stitcher.com, and be sure to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/riftovercast, on Twitter at riftovercast, and on YouTube youtube.com/riftovercast. Overcast is recorded every Wednesday and airs every Friday each week. And as always, we want to hear your opinions on both the game and the show. So leave us a comment below on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at riftovercast@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.